Thank you, Alison. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of prayer, that we can talk to you, our Maker, our God. Pray that you would open our hearts and minds to see new things about prayer today, for we ask it for your glory and our good. Amen. If there's one area about which Christian people have a guilt complex, it's prayer. Not praying as much as we should or as well as we could. Now that may be true, but in a way we're missing the point. When we focus on the negative, on what we're not doing, on what we're failing to achieve, I think we lose sight of the extraordinary privilege of prayer. It's the wonderful gift to us by a loving, gracious God who longs to see his people seek his face, whether to praise and adore him, ask forgiveness, lift up a situation or a person in prayer, or simply pour out their hearts to the one who totally understands them, who loves them unconditionally, their Maker, their Savior, their friend, their God. When we focus on the wonderful positive aspects of prayer as a precious gift of God to us, his people, we'll want to pray all the more. Not because we feel guilty, but because we feel so honored and blessed that we can talk to our God at all. The Hindu faith has a thousand names for God, but not one of them is Father. By contrast, we have a personal relationship with our Heavenly Father, made possible through the death of Jesus. And so we're able to share our whole lives with a God who cares for us. We can pray for the people and the situations that matter to us on our front lines. I've got two headings today, and the first is, what do we know about prayer? What do we know about prayer? I've got a few suggestions. First, God hears it. God hears prayer. That's the promise of Jesus himself in Matthew 6:6. When you pray, and he's assuming we're going to be praying, when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you. Do you ever feel, I'm not sure God really hears me? Then go to Matthew 6:6, which I've just read, or Psalm 6, verse 9. The Lord has heard my cry for mercy. The Lord accepts my prayer. God hears, God sees, God is listening to the prayers of his people. Then God answers prayer, secondly. Psalm 34, verse 4, King David writes, I sought the Lord, and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. In the New Testament, Paul tells the Christian believers in Ephesus, and Alison read this section out for us. He says that he's praying for them, and most especially for their spiritual growth and maturity. And he concludes with these words, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is worked within us, to him be glory. Paul's expecting an answer. Paul knows God answers prayer. His whole experience as a Christian evangelist, preacher and church planter and missionary has taught him that. No doubt Paul had had moments as we do when he didn't receive the answer he was looking for. Ever been there? That's not what I wanted, God. I prayed about that and I seem to be getting this. That wasn't part of the deal. We sort of say that in our hearts to God, don't we? Maybe God has another plan. A better plan. In Acts 16, Paul and his companions were keen to enter the area of Bithynia to preach the gospel, a good and noble endeavor. But what do we read? Acts 16:7. But the Spirit of Jesus would not allow them to. Well, hold a minute. I'm Paul, and I've prayed about this. I've laid before you my whole strategy for mission preaching and going to different areas of modern-day Turkey, and the door's shut. Well, he wanted an answer, and the answer was no. You're not coming here. God had a better plan. You know what he did? He opened the door for the gospel in Macedonia. So Paul went to found the church in Philippi, and then Thessalonica, and then down south to Athens. God had a better plan. Sometimes God's answer is yes, sometimes it's no. Often it's wait. But let's trust our Heavenly Father to know what's best for us, hard as that might be at times. I've often found Psalm 84, verse 11, is one of my verses for life. Do you get one of those? I read it as a student at uni years ago, and I thought, that's a real winner. And you know, I turn to that a lot in my life, and maybe you have those sort of comfort verses, which just reassure you that God does know what he's doing. Psalm 84, verse 11. No good thing, no good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. If we're seeking to honor the Lord in our lives, we can be sure of God's goodness towards us. It may not be what we're wanting. It'll only be the good thing he has for us. No good thing does God withhold from those whose walk is blameless. God hears, God answers. Prayer is powerful, thirdly. Elijah, one of my great heroes, isn't he yours? Just one of those great figures of the Bible. He stood before the king, King Ahab. He stood before the king, 450 prophets of Baal, and the whole people of Israel gathered on Mount Carmel. He asked God to light the fire on the sacrifice that he, Elijah, had just prepared. He was counting on his God to do something very special. And he prays, "Answer me, O Lord, answer me, so these people will know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you are turning their hearts back again." Then the fire of the Lord fell and burned up the sacrifice. Absolutely amazing. It was even more amazing because Elijah had covered the sacrifice in water to show everyone that this was going to be a miracle. This was no trick. This was God at work in power. Now, we may not think that we're much of a match for Elijah. But you know what? The Bible says differently. James 5 and verse 17 says this. Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. This was another earlier prayer of Elijah's. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Jesus confirms, as James confirms, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. I think it's very clear, isn't it? That whatever our age, our style of praying, or how long we've been a Christian, if we are walking closely with our God, seeking to honor him in our lives, then the sincere prayer we pray has power. I share that on Wednesdays with our 10 o'clock congregation. Do you know we've got 5 90-year-olds in congregation at the moment? I just sent an email last week to Mark and Aaron Dewars to tell them we prayed for them in our 10 o'clock Wednesday congregation in their new ministry at St. Hilary's, and we've got 5 90-year-olds. These are prayer warriors. Doesn't matter how old you are, how long you've been a Christian, we can all pray And God loves to hear our prayer and to act on it. I often think of Charles Coulson, a former White House advisor to President Nixon in the 1970s. He was imprisoned over the Watergate scandal. He became a Christian, and on his release from prison, went to the head of national security in Washington to ask if Christian prisoners could be released to him for 2 weeks so he could disciple them and teach them the Bible. He and his friends never thought such a mad request would ever be granted. But you know what? They prayed, and the national security advisor said, "Fine, when do you want to start?" He simply couldn't believe it. That is the power of prayer. And out of that, the International Prisoners Christian Fellowship all over the world, meeting the needs of Christians in prison and helping them become Christians, was started. That's where it all began. Coulson's prayer was way more powerful than he could ever have believed. Let's take courage from that. Let's be encouraged by that kind of example. Then fourthly on this, prayer demonstrates dependence on God. I wonder if you've seen the latest advert on ABC News 24 for getting updates and news on your mobile. ABC have modified a famous Christian song to say, "You've got the whole world in your hands." Presumably to hold a mobile. I think a lot of people have seen that. It's a very small, but I think telling example of how our society likes to rework old biblical truths. It ceased to depend on God and his sovereign power. It doesn't want to say he's got the whole world in his hands. It doesn't want to say that anymore. But he has. He has got the whole world in his hands. We read parts of Isaiah 40 yesterday at the day of prayer to remind us of that unmistakable truth. "To whom will you compare me? Or who is my equal?" says the Holy One. "Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket?" God is sovereign. God is supreme. He alone has the world in his hands. Which is why Isaiah declares in the final verse of the chapter, "Those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength." If we are wise, we will hope in the Lord. We will depend on the Lord. And prayer is the clear and unmistakable way of demonstrating that dependence. Jesus once said, "Apart from me, you can do nothing." John 15, verse 5. If ever we're tempted to think that our achievements in Christian service were solely down to our contribution, Jesus' words will bring us up short. "Apart from me, you can do nothing." If ever an individual Christian or church becomes complacent, thinking they've got to where they are by themselves, and cease to give glory to God, to look to him, to honor him, and depend upon him, then it's a sad day indeed. The great Christian writer and evangelist R.A. Torrey wrote this: "The entire shore of the history of Christian workers is strewn with the wrecks of gallant vessels that were full of promise a few years ago. But these men and women became puffed up and were driven on the rocks by the wild winds of their own raging self-esteem." It's a chapter on humility. It's a great chapter. God hears, God answers. Prayer is powerful, and it demonstrates dependence. There are so many other aspects of prayer I could also mention. It's where we do battle for God. It's where we praise, adore, and thank Him. In the Bible, we're commanded to pray. It's part of obedience. We're called to be persistent in prayer, like that wonderful widow in Luke 18. Prayer is the gift of God to us as children, enabling us by the Holy Spirit to cry out, Abba, Father. What a privilege. What a joy it is to pray. But for us, what are our frontline areas that we want to cry out to God for in our lives? Here are some suggestions under my second heading, frontline focus. Frontline focus. The family. King David, in a famous prayer in 1 Chronicles 17, says, Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my family that you have brought me this far? David gives thanks to God for his faithfulness to his family. Whether we're married or unmarried, family is an important part of our lives. And for some of us, it's also the most challenging area of our lives and of our Christian witness. But that witness can make a difference. For example, just last year, Henny de Vries, a member of our congregation, who'd prayed for his brother for decades, led him to the Lord. Wonderful. It's been the joy of Henny. You talked to him in the foyer sometime, and it's the joy of his life that his brother has come to the Lord. Paul writes in 2 Timothy of the sincere faith that he saw in Timothy's grandmother Lois, his mother Eunice, and which now lives in you, Paul writes. You're not telling me that Lois and Eunice weren't praying for Timothy. Family. Decisions. That's a big one in life. A real front line. Throughout our lives, we have to make important decisions about a whole realm of issues. Career, jobs, marriage, house, rent, buy, what? Education of children, when to retire and where. Psalm 37 is absolute gold here. Commit your way to the Lord, trust in Him, and He will do this. I'm going to read that again. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust in Him, and He will do this. When Jesus decided on the 12 disciples, He spent the whole night praying to God, Luke 6, verse 12. Family, decisions, gospel opportunities. We're to pray for opportunities to share the gospel with the people on our front line, with friends, colleagues, neighbors. Paul asks the Colossian Christians to pray for him. Pray that God may open a door for our message. Do we have a small list of friends and contacts that we're praying for regularly? Praying that that door would open. We're encouraged to do just that. The challenging times. Illness, bereavement, losing our job, trouble in the family. At his crisis moment, what did Jesus do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He prayed to his Father. Paul, writing to the Christians at Philippi, says, Do not be anxious about anything. It's a command, actually. Do not be anxious about anything. He's a bit of a worrier. It's good that's in the Bible. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Ever prayed like that, and you think to yourself afterwards, why was I so worried? Why did I take so long to bring my anxiety to God in prayer? Do you know, sometimes the thing is so overwhelming, the last thing we think to do is to pray. We just find the whole thing is too big. We need to have that little sticker on our Bible or on our wall or something that says at home, don't forget to pray about it or something. Because often it's the last thing we do. And when we pray and when we, maybe we kneel when there's issues like that. I think kneeling helps. Just say, God, I'm here. Please take this burden. I just can't carry it. And you're saying, I'm not supposed to. So please, God, over to you. Maybe it's a good idea to ask others to pray for us when we're going through those crises times in our lives. And then finally, actually not quite finally, world and nation. In a sense, the nation of Australia is a front line for us. We're part of it. This is our home, our country. Nehemiah prayed for his nation. I confess the sins we Israelites, including myself, and my father's house have committed against you. Nehemiah was faithful and believing, but he identified with his nation and asked forgiveness for Israel for disobeying God's ways. And yesterday we prayed a similar prayer for Australia in our day of prayer. In the wider world, the dreadful, horrific events in Nice, the attempted coup in Turkey, and the ongoing threat of ISIS bring us to our knees in prayer to the sovereign God, for whom no issue is too big. We're not to be fearful in this age, but prayerful. And then finally, ourselves. Sometimes there are things in our hearts or in our thoughts that perhaps we find difficult to share with anyone. And so it's easy for us at some times to, as I said earlier, neglect to pray about them. We feel overwhelmed. King David writes in Psalm 62, "Trust in him at all times, O people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." We're to pour out our hearts before our loving, gracious God. There's the old saying which goes, God helps those who help themselves. Someone I was talking to recently thought that was from Scripture. Nothing could be further from the truth. God longs for us to look to Him, to come confidently to our Father. God helps those who ask His help. Hebrews 4:16 says, "Let us approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Thank goodness for prayer. Thank goodness for God.